But now he's in prison and about to be executed. His life is about to be taken from him. And so when we look at these words are Paul's last words to Timothy. And then to all of us. And these last words are extremely important. If you knew when you were going to die, when your life was going to be taken from you, what messages would you give to your family? Would you do, as I suggested before, call your family in one at a time and tell them they need to get right with God? We should have been taking care of business ahead of time. But what are those last words that you would say are important for you to say to your family? To know that the Lord is coming again, or that you are going to step out into eternity soon, you need to get busy and do the right thing. And tell them exactly what they need to know and do what needs to be said and done. So Paul is giving these last words. I think that you could summarize what he said by this. God blesses his faithful children with a crown of righteousness. Whoa! A crown of what? A crown of righteousness. Our job is to take care of business as being a child of God. That's what we're supposed to be doing. God blesses us with a crown of righteousness. I love it when you take a group of children to Burger King and let them have a party, and every one of them coming out wearing a crown. Doesn't last long. You know, it's kind of amazing when they come home and those things fall apart. The one that God has for us is not going to fall apart. So what is our responsibility? If we are to be about the business of being a child of God, he lays it out in his text. He lays it out very plain. You can look at verse 7. You've got to pick the right fight. Boy, we can fight about a lot of stuff, can't we? What color carpet do we have? Did you have trouble getting that in here? What about paint on the wall? Oh, we can get in terrible trouble. We just, you know, it's a good thing to be just colorblind. Because we can fight about anything. And you know what? Texans have always been known to fight. And we live too close to Oklahoma because they love to fight. So you just think about it. And I remember going to Glorieta when I came off a mission field as a summer missionary. Came to Glorieta, and the Texans would stand up and sing, "The eyes of Texas are upon you." And then the Oklahoma people would stand up and sing, "The nose of Oklahoma smells you." It was a friendly competition, but they always got with it. Well, we've got to pick the right fight. What is the right fight? You know, our nation is torn apart right now. We are torn asunder. And there's so many fights going on and so many ugly things being done. And I feel for those who are wearing badges and carrying guns. I feel for them. Because they are not being treated as they should be treated, and our world is crumbling. And we look at it and say, well, which fight am I in? That's not the fight we're in. We are to first look at the world. The world is a good place, but the world can be a word that speaks about something else. It is about all the temptations and all the things that this world is offering. Everything is always new, it's shinier, and the world is just an attraction. And we have to fight that. we have to realize that that is not where we need to be. We have to fight our flesh. Our flesh causes us to desire. And you know, most of the time it comes through our eyes, doesn't it? But however it gets there, the devil is at work trying to destroy a Christian. Just love to destroy your influence, your ability to help anybody. And so we've got to recognize that the winning fight is, we've got to take on the flesh, but we also have to recognize that Satan is our enemy. Satan is never dressed up like you think he is. He knows how to trick you. And we have to be on guard constantly, because when we walk with the Lord, we're on the right side. That's the side that we want to be on when we pick the good fight. That's what Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I fought the right one. And he goes on to say, I have finished my course. Staying power? What God wants of us is to have staying powers. We need to be able to hang in there to the end. We've got to hold on as long as we can, as long as he gives us strength. We've got to stay right in there and finish the course. Paul did that. We don't know all the facts that were happening around his life at this time, but we do know that he came to a place that he was in prison and about to die. He has finished his course. There's so many people that start and they sound good and they look good, but they don't stick it out. We need to have staying power. We need to have the power that keeps us there. And then he goes on to say, I have kept the faith. Do you know what that means? I kept the rules. There was a World Series ball game that a young man thought he had done it. He hit it and he ran all the way around. And when he got to home base, the catcher took the ball and tagged him out. And the referee or the umpire said, you didn't touch second base. You don't touch the base, you don't get to go. That's keeping the rules. That's staying faithful to what we are called to do. There's also in verse 6, and a statement that you and I must evaluate our situation. We must be clear-eyed and know what's going on in our lives. He says, I'm like a drink offering that I'm being poured out today. The idea that he's on the cross and he's there at the crossroads of his life and he's being poured out as a drink offering. That's Paul. He says, my departure time has come. He recognized that it was the end. But he also recognized that he finished his course. You just never know what is going on in your life. There's the necessary preparation. You've got to be released and ready to go, released from the bondage that you have. Remember a few years ago, a lady came into my office. She didn't know what to do. She said, what is this little knot right here on me? And I didn't even want to look. And I did look, and it was abnormal. And I said, we've got to get you to the doctor. So I sent her to the doctor across town. And in Sanger, that doesn't take but 3 blocks. She got to the doctor, and the doctor took her right down to the hospital, and it was terminal cancer. She was so vibrant and so, boy, she was a builder. She helped build a lot of stuff that we had at church, and she was a ringleader. But then that came, she realized that she had to take care of that. So there was the necessary preparations for the things that she had to do, because her husband was in a wheelchair. He couldn't get around. And without her there, what's he going to do? She had a lot of preparations to take care of, but her time came. It was hard, but you know it always is. So we look at this and recognize we've got to evaluate our situation. And we've also, the third thing, we've got to look at the profit and the loss. Look at verse 8. The great reward that is set aside. My goodness. A crown of righteousness is laid up for us. Guess what? It's not like going to Burger King where everybody gets a crown. This is saying that there is a crown of righteousness laid up. It goes on to say that this is a personal, priceless gift from him to you. It is a personal gift. This is a crown of righteousness. And notice that it's name specific. This was not laid up for anybody. This gift is specific. It is kept for him. And the implication is that every one of us, if we serve the Lord, there is a crown of righteousness laid up for us. But it's not one that you put on your head and wear proudly. It is the most precious gift that you could be given. Not because it was anything that you did. It's what Jesus did. He imputed into our lives righteousness that we did not deserve. That is the crown of righteousness. And notice, the crown is presented by whom? It says that this is the Lord Jesus Christ, who will personally award that to him. But the implication is that he is personally going to provide that for each one of us if we serve the Lord. If we are his child, if we get there and really do what he needs done in this life. Do we serve the Lord? Are we willing to set aside the things of the world and get in the real battle that we are invited to get in? Well, who qualifies for it? It says, not only Paul, but he says, who qualifies? Also to all who have loved his appearing. That's all of us. Not only that, what do we do with that gift? Do you put it on your head and wear it around heaven just smiling because you've got a crown? No. That crown of righteousness that he gives to you, he says you lay it at the feet of Jesus. You present it because that was his gift to you. And you present it at his feet, because he is the Lord, he is the King, he is all that there is that you and I need to serve and recognize. We need to love the Lord with all our lives, with everything that we have, and lay that crown at the feet of Jesus. Paul has tremendous words for all of us. I hope that you will read that again and recognize how personal it is. And recognize those powerful words that were the last will and testament of Paul to Timothy. And from Timothy to all of us. Let's bow together as we pray. Heavenly Father, if today there is anyone within the sound of this service that does not know you personally, I pray that you would give them direction now to know that they don't have to do anything. All they have to do is trust you to ask you into their lives. And Father, I pray that those of us who are your children, that we would be willing to do your will and look forward to the day that that crown of righteousness is not only presented, but we lay it at your feet. For we want to give you all the glory and all the homage that we can give. For it's in Christ Jesus' name we pray and we love. Amen.